KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Oh, that is so 90s.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Long throw in time.
Here's your Diamond Play of the Week, presented by Robbins Brothers, the engagement ring store.
These guys just flapping gums at each other. Any chance they get. The fight clock is brought to you by Modelo. Oh!
I saw some criticism. People say the punches weren't really necessary. Maybe
they were super necessary.
Why were they necessary?
What do you mean, why were they not necessary?
Because he was already knocked out at that point.
But the referee hadn't pulled me off. And my job is to hit somebody till the referee pulls me off. So to those people, I would say maybe don't watch him and maybe go back to soccer.
I saw some other criticisms perhaps of your celebration afterwards. Any regrets at the celebration or your behavior in the cage afterwards?
Man, there's not too many people that I've disliked. I have over 50 pro fights, and he's one of them. You know, he talked about my manhood, talked about my culture, my ethnicity. Where do we draw? Why do certain people get to do stuff? You online, so you could do anything. Everything is cool before a fight. You're allowed to do and say whatever you want. Like other fighters are not doing, talking about people's religions, wife, even kids. That's cool. But after a fight, I'm not allowed to showboat and rub it in your face, so you and guys like you could see it and be like, maybe I don't talk so much shit, because when I cross one of these real motherfuckers, they're gonna make me pay for it, man. They're gonna embarrass the shit out of me. And it's not over for Ben either. He still has to deal with me. If I see him at Whole Foods, I'm gonna still slap that dude up because I don't like him.
This Diamond Play of the Week is presented by Robbins Brothers, the engagement ring store, West Loop South at Clear Lake.
That dude does not like
Jorge Masvidal. He is a good fighter. This is his old, I've seen this years ago, where he used to do backyard fight. Kimbo Slice's backyard fights. Kimbo had a protege named Ray. And all of a sudden, this guy with this pony, with this like man bun who had long hair, like outboxed him. Just outboxed him in this. I don't know where it was. It was some place where a bunch of this is the rematch. This is number two, where Ray fights Jorge Masvidal again, and Jorge Masvidal just, you know,
well, he's Ray got some shots.
Oh no, Ray gets some. No, Ray's really, really talented. You can see his eyes already cut. But Jorge Masvidal is just tough as can be, and this guy, and Ben Askew continued to talk throughout the process, had his own video blog set, his vlog series where he badmouthed him.
Askren.
During the face-off, he kept going, why are you mad, bro? Why are you mad? Why are you so mad? Like, he just kept picking at Jorge Masvidal. And there was way more stuff other than that. A lot of lead up to this. So when Jorge knocked him out with a flying knee in the first 5 seconds of the fight, which is the fastest knockout in UFC history, and then landed two major shots while he's down on the ground and knocked out. And then after the fight, he got right in his face and was like tapping one, two, three, four, five. Then you still haven't seen the one where he like stiffens his body and falls down like he's been knocked out cold. He does that on the mat after the fight too. Like, it's the most disrespectful celebration I've ever seen. And that was his press conference. Like, he said he's gonna smack him up at a Whole Foods. He felt like it was over.
Well, I hope they don't meet in a Whole Foods, because that would be unfortunate for Whole Foods. Those two just walking down
Shout
the
out
aisle,
Whole Foods, though.
Picking up some milk and eggs, and then all of a sudden they see each other and they start punching each other in the face or kicking each other in the face. If you haven't seen the Masvidal flying kick to start, it took a second and a half and the fight was over.
Right.
The fight was over in a second and a half. Although the ref had to come in, because he was, Dude was on the ground, and you could tell he was out, and he was actually, like, he looked like he was shaking a little bit, and Masvidal came up and just started punching him in the face.
Right.
That's one thing about...
And the ref got in there as quick as he could.
That's one thing about the UFC that maybe when a guy is down, maybe you shouldn't punch him in the face or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't see how they can stop that. You're in combat mode. Like, I don't know how they can stop.
Because guys get up, right? You don't want that guy to get up.
I think it's just the killer instinct of you finish a guy off. Like, it's easy to say that, but I don't think it's easy for fighters to just pull. Some do. Some can pull themselves off. But others, especially when you hate a guy, he did that on purpose. Like, there was not going to be any pulling. He was going to get his shots in. But the referee was quick to jump in. I thought the ref did a good job of jumping in on that as quick as he could. There's nothing he could do. It ended before.
Yeah.
Who thought that fight was going to end with the flying knee like that? So,
have you seen the – speaking of the fights, did you see the video of the Cubs and White Sox fans?
No.
Oh, my God. Cubs and White Sox played at Comiskey or whatever it's called. And it is unbelievable. There are five different fights in the stand. And women, there's one where this woman just
is this on Barstool?
She can't get up. She just can't get. I mean, she this and there. I mean, five or six different fights broke out.
Your people in Chicago are
there. No, it's look at now. What she's trying to get up? Oh, she can't get up. Oh, she can't get up. Oh, she can't get up. She's a little heavy. But when she does, it's go time. I love it's so awesome.
Wait till I get up, Carol. I'm gonna beat your ass as soon as I get up off this ground.
Johnny, help me get up. Help.
Pull me up. I swear to God.
I'm gonna go out to the car.
I swear to God, I'm gonna slap her.
Go out to the car and get my gun.
I'm okay. Going to slap her so hard and grab her by the back of her hair.
Yeah.
As soon as I can get up off the ground here.
Oh, my God.
It's a little it's sticky. Someone has spilled a Coke. Someone spilled a pop. No.
So speaking of which, I mean, the first one that they show here, a dude is yelling at another dude. And the other dude just watch this. Here comes this guy picks up something and he's going to throw it at him. And, yeah, watch this. And woof.
Comes flying back. Something comes flying back. A drink comes flying back at him.
Oh, my God. It was chaos. I love it. Thank you. Thank you, Chicago, for giving and giving and giving. We appreciate that. Somebody said, and I really can't stand this. There's Dallas Hicks. Lamont says, oh, here's the guy. Here are the guys that think that Jake Mariznick was in the wrong. Granado, Meltzer, and Sean Unfiltered. Sean Salisbury. We all think that Mariznick was in the wrong. Okay. And you broke my heart, Fredo. Okay, listen.
You're not just caping up for the home team?
Well, Dallas Hicks says, yeah, you got to have some sort of controversy, Lamont. We can't all have the same opinion.
That's not how we work.
Listen, that's not how – I don't know, Dallas. I don't know you. You don't know me. That's not the way I do this. If I think it, I'm going to say it. If I don't think it, I'm not going to say it just to create some controversy. And he says, oh, I believe you, wink, wink. You know what? I don't care if you believe me or don't believe me. While I'm watching it, I thought Jake Mariznick was in the wrong. I thought he created the contact. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly what Major League Baseball doesn't want, is you to go head on. And actually, Jake took a left step, went out of his way. He wasn't even going to touch the plate. He was going inside at the catcher as opposed to going to the plate.
Right.
If he'd have gone outside, now maybe he doesn't score because Lucroy's going to actually catch the ball and tag him out. So maybe that would have been the case. He had to create the collision, which jarred the ball loose. But he also, by creating the collision, he was called out because you can't collide with the catcher. You can't do what he did.
That's why they did it. But to me, I just thought it was bad luck for Mariznick. I thought they zigzagged the same way initially, and I didn't think there was anything. That's my opinion. I didn't think it was intentional.
Intentional. I didn't say it was intentional. I don't think it was intentional. I think he created the contact, whether it was intentional or not. He did exactly what you can't do. You can't collide with the catcher like that.
I didn't think he targeted him.
I didn't think he did either.
Okay.
But he did. But the way it ended up, though, they collided.
No, I get it, but there's intent. He's not getting suspended if they don't determine intent. You got to determine intent. If you think it accidentally happened,
not intent. I don't know if that's the rule, though, if you're going to get suspended just because of intent. I don't know that.
Well, what do you? What can you do?
He didn't stay in the same path. This is what happened,
right? He didn't stay in the same base path,
right?
He didn't. He showed an inside move. So either you think he went inside. When I say you, as in the commissioner thinks he went inside, or whoever doles out the punishment thinks he went inside to avoid it, or he thinks he went inside to create it. Yep. One or the other, because that's not the right. He's not running down the baseline.
Either way, he went inside as opposed to running toward the play.
Right.
He went inside and created the contact. I don't think his intent was to destroy him either. I don't, to blow him up. However, what did he do? He blew him up.
Well, he's a big boy now.
Yeah.
Jake Marisnyk is a big boy.
And Luke Kroy looked like he was – it was scary.
Now, it's far less prevalent in this sport because it just rarely happens. But isn't this somewhat like targeting where you can say, well, speed of the game, I wasn't trying to do that.
But you know what?
And I'm still missing the second half.
And you're still missing the second half.
In the first half of the next game.
Right. That's exactly the point. I know you didn't mean to, but guess what you did?
They do look at intent. The difference is if you hit helmet to helmet.
Listen,
I mean, it's also where you hit on the body is a major deal.
Even if a wide receiver goes down and the player and the defensive back was going low to avoid a head shot, but the receiver his head goes down and there's helmet to helmet, guess what?
But in NFL, they can suspend for it or they can eject one game and be done.
Right.
They can also do that.
In college football, you're out the second half, you're out the first half.
Yeah, but this isn't
going to
be, this is more like the pro football style where they are going to look at it in intent. Because that's a very harsh, if you get ejected, they're out. If this is college football, then Jake Marisnyk's out the next game.
Well, right. Well, Jake Marisnyk may be out a couple of games.
Well, the commissioner's going to make a decision.
He is.
Same way the NFL commissioner would make a decision based on video evidence. So we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see when that comes down. I mean, Brad Ausmus, his comments were, you know, he thinks, frankly, it should be a suspension. We'll see. We're going to hear a lot about that from A.J. Hinch today, I can guarantee you.
Mm-hmm.
And I am interested to see what A.J. says, because he was a, you know, this is a guy who caught. So he knows. He knows it's a dangerous position. And maybe A.J. will be sympathetic to the catcher. I don't know.
It could well be. I don't know. I think, A.J.'s got to have his back.
He'll have his back. But, I mean, I'm interested to see what his words are in general. Because I do think he's going to say something about, you know, we really try to protect the catcher and we've got to keep trying to protect the catcher. But I think that you have to look at intent. I think he's going to go through that whole thing, but we will see. And yes, you do have to have your players back.
Can you start the segment over? I was too busy watching the Disney fight videos. They're awesome, except when the dude walks up and punches a girl right in the face.
Oh, my God.
What the hell? This is bad. 814 ESPN 97.5. This is not something that happens on your patio.
What? No. Nothing like that happens on my patio. Texas Custom Patios. Now, I will say, one of the things Stephen Schell doesn't guarantee, he guarantees his work. He guarantees his initial price. For example, if anything happens and it ends up being more than what they initially quoted you, they eat that cost. So that price is guaranteed. Their work is guaranteed. If you ever, like, we had some settling with, and he said this is kind of normal with the big beam, the concrete beam that's across the top of our pitched roof area. There was a little bit of cracking, so they changed out, not in the concrete beam, but the facing that we have, the wood facing. So he just switched that out. He said that happens about 25-30% of the time. And that's how they do business. They come back and look at everything, make sure that everything's going okay, because they do warranty their work. And their work is just exceptional. It really adds something to your home when you can entertain with a patio, with the outdoor kitchen area, with the seating area to go watch your big screen television, have your sound systems that are plugged into the into the roof, so that you get this great, full, rich sound while you're watching your games and you're out there and enjoying a nice cold beer. It's just so good. It's so good to be able to take the kids outside and say, hey, kids, today you're having your pizza, your hot dogs, your hamburgers outside. Or when me and the fellas ended up doing the beers and cocktails and steaks, and it was just the guys out on the patio. I mean, it really is something that can elevate your house to a home. And if you want to see what they do at Texas Custom Patios, you want to find out the process, go to TexasCustomPatios.com. That's TexasCustomPatios.com. And all of the answers to your questions and all of the work that they've done, where you can see the before and afters, are there. If you want to see my house specifically, look what they did for my house before and then after by going to TCPLance.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 820. John and Lance along with Dell, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Oh, I don't know if you heard. Kawhi Leonard is going to the Clippers.
Me and Dell were talking about this. Did Kawhi Leonard intentionally screw?
So
I woke up, holy crap, in the middle of the night, Kawhi, not only did Kawhi choose the Clippers, somehow Chris Broussard missed this one, and I don't get it, because Broussard had him going to the Lakers. I remember when Broussard had Dwight Howard going to the Lakers instead of the Rockets. Chris Broussard has been on a little bit of a streak. He just can't seem to get things right.
Okay,
but if you remember correctly, last summer the talk was, before the trade to Toronto was, Kawhi Clippers. He wanted to be in L.A., but with the Clippers, and we all thought, why would he be in the Clippers? And the talk was he didn't want to be second fiddle to LeBron James. So that's always been out there. So Dell and I were talking on the way up after I let him in. He left his card. And
that's a lie.
We came up.
Let's be clear. No, forget the story. Huh? Don't lie and then begin your story. What's the deal? You leave your card. Probably a nice clip of two times a week at least.
I need to leave my card in the car now, I think.
Yeah. Oh, you think?
You think?
You think that's what you should do?
I think I should, yeah.
You think, as opposed to...
Because I used to have my car key on the card, and now I don't, so it's harder for me to remember the car.
You know, some of us, carry wallets.
Yeah.
And if you always keep your wallet
that's
on
a
you,
thought. Actually, that's a
it's
thought.
It's a thought, huh? It's
the
a thought.
The key card on the wallet is a thought.
You're always out there like a latchkey kid who forgot his key.
It's a consideration.
School.
It's a consideration.
You got to wait for mom to come home and let you in.
Thanks, mom. Thanks, Dell, mom.
Why is your card not in your car?
It's on a laminate.
Well,
it's on a
take
lanyard.
It off the laminate.
It's on a lanyard.
Good Lord.
It's on a lanyard. So
take it off the
sometimes
lanyard.
Sometimes I hang it around my neck.
What is
like
wrong
a
with you?
Kid.
Leave it in the car in the same place every day.
I'm going to consider
you
that.
Should you should just wear it. Why aren't you wearing it right now? It should be around your neck all times.
I have it, but I didn't put it on. And I know where it is at home, too, if that makes you feel better.
It doesn't.
Why is it
really
at home?
Doesn't.
That you never need it at home.
Yeah. It should not
I don't
leave
think
your
I'm
car.
Gonna bring it inside anymore.
It should be in your car. You put it on, leave it on throughout the workday because you'll leave it here and go
I'm gonna
home.
Consider that.
No.
Get in your car and take it off, put it back, leave it in the car.
I might leave it in
that.
The car.
I think I'm gonna do that.
Take
I
it
might
off,
even put it in
but
the
it's
wallet.
On with his key, yeah. Which is the dumbest thing ever.
Because you're always gonna talk
you
to your
house
someplace.
Key. It's my house key, but now we have a second house key. We changed locks. Once the bad floor guys were gone, we're like, let's just change locks. So now that key is on my other key. So there's really no need for the other key that I had.
No.
Like that key's dead now.
It is. There's no need for it.
Yeah.
There's no need to put
you
your,
should have it,
your car.
It should be on your car or around your neck at all times. You should never take it off your neck when you're at work.
No. Well, that's a good point, too. But here's the deal. When you get in your car, just put it in the same place every
day. Well, that
day.
Too. But you know
and then it's there.
His deal is.
These are all concerned considerations.
He gets to work. He takes it off. He'll leave it in his office, go home, and then I have to go get him at 6:40.
That happened, too.
And then we don't have to have segments about it.
So this is one thing
your
I did.
Card key is.
When I got here, and I'm like, oh, crap, I got to text Dell again. Like, hey, guy.
You should be embarrassed. that you have
hey,
to.
Buddy. And I texted him, and I'm waiting there for like 6-7 minutes now. So I have to tell John, can you tell that little hate monger?
Yeah,
that
the
I'm
guy
downstairs?
Who lets you in every day.
Yeah.
You need. I'm a hate monger, yeah. And you can't keep your key card. You got a problem with me, and you can't keep your key card on you.
So as I was saying before, Dell got triggered about being a good teammate.
Mm-hmm. I don't. You're a terrible teammate.
No.
Why am I always coming for you?
No. You're being a bad teammate by complaining about it.
I always got to be the help defender for you because you can't stay in front of your man.
Is this James Harden? Selfish?
Yeah, and
selfish?
Then when my guy gets an easy dunk because I'm coming over to help you, I get blamed. The fans are like, man, Dell can't stay with his guy.
So wait,
this is what I do.
I'm just trying to reach. His key card is actually James playing defense, can't find it, find his guy?
I got to come over and stay in front of Neto because you can't.
You got to help out.
And then Dante Exum is dunking and people are like, well, Dell can't stick with Dante Exum? No, he can't stick with Neto.
And then you get blamed for it.
Yeah.
It's the best. Me and James do it right. So Dell and I were having a talk. He mm-hmm. didn't talk a lot. He was like in a bad mood about having to get me. But Dell thinks it is a possibility that this is partly a setup. That partly Kawhi set up. Oh, and by the way, in the middle of the night, Paul George got traded too. So it went from we don't know where Kawhi's going to Kawhi and Paul George are both there. And now, I'm thinking, wait a minute. I can see the Kawhi. How did they let Paul George out of there? And why would they let Paul George out of there?
Well, because he doesn't want to be there. And this would have been the max time that they can get what they can get. Listen.
He was an MVP candidate.
He was an MVP candidate, and you won one playoff game. That's not the recipe.
I got news for you. It's the other guy that might be an issue,
well,
too.
Well, that's fine. But Paul George came in and said, I want out. You know what? We'll get rid of the other guy, too. Get as much as we can for him. They've got 50 draft picks now, which is not always great in the NBA. But you never know. They might hit on some, like Philly hit on some and missed on some, whatever the case may be.
They got, what, 5 draft picks, right?
Listen, I don't want to be mediocre like they are. Just making the playoffs and being meh. But you were right, though, too, is that in Oklahoma City, you ain't attracting no free agents.
But honestly, how can you – do they only get 1 year and Paul George is like, I want out? What it looks like is Paul George just signed as big a deal as he could without – you know, well, yeah, he signed as big a deal as he could. And I think in his background, he just said, I'm just going to wait it out and see if I can force my way out whenever Kawhi makes his decision. If it's not Toronto.
I don't know
why. And that's
what
I think ended up happening. But I just don't like that players say, I just don't want to be in here anymore. Give me another place. That's not – then give up free agency then. Then give up free agency. That's what free agency is.
Well,
then give up the free agency if you want to just be able to choose wherever you play whenever you want.
I think that, you know what? Players finally have the upper hand, which is –
Well, this is a massive upper hand.
It is a massive upper hand.
Where you just leave whenever you want?
That's the new, yeah. I want out of here.
Okay, well, then don't complain.
But you know what? At least they got something for them.
But don't complain when you – to me, this is what I would do. I would consider shutting down 10 teams, going to 20 teams or maybe even something like 18 teams, contracting, getting rid of the average players, and make it – bumping up massive salaries, make the team – get as much as you can for the TV deal. You're only spreading it between a smaller amount of teams, right? And I'm only partly being facetious. No one cares about the Denver Nuggets. You're never winning anything, Denver. I don't care. You're not going to win anything. The Pacers, no one's going to want to go to the Pacers.
Oh, I don't know about that. Toronto just won.
Why did the Pacers?
How is Denver not
going
to win?
They had to rent a player.
Well, that's all right. But Denver might. Well, you know, they could strike gold.
No. Toronto
and
can
Denver's
stay.
Denver's actually a pretty good organization.
No, we can keep Toronto.
Toronto's going to suck now.
There's no reason to have 30 teams. Keep Chicago. We'll keep the coolest cities. And we'll keep – and Toronto obviously makes a lot of sense.
Good luck telling those owners that they don't get their money anymore.
Well, I'm sorry. You're done. And let's contract and let the super friends all play on super teams. Every team can be a super team. You get as much money as possible. You're not splitting with 30 teams now. You split with 18 teams. So there's more money to be had. There's much higher salary caps. And let these players all play in places where maybe there will be less dancing around because this is only going to get worse. And for teams who know, it's like baseball. You know you don't really have the ability to compete. The only difference is baseball is minor leagues where you can build yourself up. It's hard to build yourself up in basketball.
The G League? Yeah, there's a lot.
Well, the G League is not a good way. But even the draft is really hard to build yourself up unless you really hit like Golden State did.
I don't know if you're being realistic. I understand what it makes sense, but it's not realistic.
I'm being a little facetious, but I'm also not being facetious.
No, it would be ideal if you did, because guys don't want to go to the. Now, that said, Milwaukee, a smaller market, they can win. They actually can.
They can as long as Giannis wants to be there.
That's right.
If Giannis gets Americanized, it's over.
But that's fine. He's there. And you know what? They just re-signed Middleton.
Can Utah win ever?
They have. They won at the highest level. They were just a Chicago away from winning it all.
They got drafted and trade.
That's back when it was different. That's back when it was different, when Stockton and Malone were lifers and all that.
Look at what they just picked up Conley.
You have to find your gym, because Utah Jazz will probably never bottom out. They're much like the Rockets that way. They drafted Donovan Mitchell, I think, at like 13. They have a potential star. Then you go trade for guys like Mike Conley, and you get Bogdanovich to sign.
Yeah, how about you just do a good job? How about you? Yeah, you get the Donovan Mitchells. You get the Kawhi Leonards at 16 or 17, whatever he was. You get the Siakams at 27. You actually do a good job.
Let's eliminate.
You get Giannis at 6.
No one cares about this. I just want to start eliminating teams. Until you're ready to start telling me who's gone, I don't care anymore. Start kicking teams out.
Well, I think you're
Oklahoma City's out, right?
Yeah. Minnesota out.
Minnesota out.
Beat it. No one wants to go
Memphis,
there.
Memphis.
Yeah, I mean.
Memphis out.
Out.
Well, Memphis out.
They've been.
Orlando, they had the beat run. It.
Orlando, beat it.
Well, they're poorly run, Orlando. That's their biggest problem. They have lottery picks for how long, and haven't been able to hit on one yet. Hit on a lottery pick. That would help
your
team.
That would be nice, but you know what? We're not doing that.
The Wizards? Are we keeping the Wizards?
They've hit on guys.
It's in Washington. I feel like you almost have to keep them because they're in Washington, but maybe not.
Indiana, beat it.
Beat it. Sorry, Indiana. I know you're the home of basketball and all that stuff, and you do things the right way, and your hustle and your
Sacramento.
Fans. Oh, Sacramento.
Beat it.
Out of here.
Yeah.
No, Sacramento's the first team that's gone.
They just built a new arena. They're not going
Take away Oklahoma City.
It's a nice
so
arena.
So now Seattle
That's
can
one
go.
Of the nicest arenas I've ever been in.
Where?
Sacramento.
Is it?
It really is.
I want to see him take out Oklahoma City so all Seattle can go,
or just give back to Seattle.
You stole our team. No. Seattle's too rich.
No, Seattle sucks. 831 ESPN 975 713-780-3776. We'll
keep
get you
the Blazers?
On the other side.
You don't
right
want
here.
No Lillard smoke for the Rockets?
No, I like. Yeah, I don't.
Portland beat it.
A killer.
We'll take Dame.
Yeah. I'll take CJ McCollum.
Yeah.
See how much better basketball is about to get when we get CJ McCollum?
Why? Because instead of running out Austin Rivers, you can run out CJ? Is that the problem?
Yeah, CJ absolutely.
McCollum over Rivers?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what he's looking at. He's trying to contract teams to just help the Rockets.
What, Dell? That's the only free agency we can have is contraction.
Should Austin Rivers have a job in the NBA?
He probably should.
Not if there's 12 teams. No.
Well, yes. That would change things
Let's
for him.
Let's go back to the Celtics. Let's go back to when Bill Russell won 40 championships in a row with like four teams.
832 ESPN 975.
G'day. Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 975 from anywhere, even down under.
Explanation on the ruling was that he deviated from his path. By the letter of the law and looking at it, it looked like he was coming down the line going as fast as he can and had to make a decision on whether to go left or right. As LaCroix was going to field the ball, you're either going to drop step into foul territory or you're going to hug the line in fair territory. And they both picked the same area. And that is why the rule is made, is so the runner doesn't, you know, to avoid those collisions. But I don't fault Jake because he wasn't hunting him. He wasn't going after him. He tried to take a step and where LaCroix was going to go. And it's difficult in that little 1 to 3 foot circle where you're trying to figure out going at full speed what's going to happen. And it just turned out to be an ugly play.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree with anything AJ said. The only problem is that it created context. So his decision, while he was trying to, if you know, whatever his intent was, trying to avoid LaCroix, his decision created contact. That's unfortunate. I think that there could quite possibly be a suspension coming. We'll see. We'll see what Major League Baseball does. Will wants to talk to it here about it here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Will?
Yeah, can you hear me, John?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, John, does it make a difference? Because nobody's talking about this. The catcher, the ball hit the catcher's glove and glanced off his glove before the contact happened. Does it make a difference that the collision didn't make him lose the ball? He lost the ball before the contact even happened. If you look at the replay, you'll see the ball hit his glove, glance off, and then the contact happened. Does that not make a difference?
Does not make a difference. Does not make a difference. The whole thing is to protect. It doesn't matter what the outcome was. Lamont even asked, hey, he didn't hold on to the ball. How is he out? You're out because you put the catcher in danger. Just like in football, even though your intent wasn't to helmet-to-helmet, if you put that wide receiver in danger, then you're going to get penalized. You're going to get tossed from the game. That's the rule, and you're going to be out.
It seems to me like what they, if they was going to be fair, what they should have done was called him safe. They should have called him safe because the contact is not the reason that he was safe. The catcher lost the ball before the contact happened. Now, what they should have done was called him safe, and if they was going to hold out against Jake, they could have suspended him or whatever. But to call him out, that's just wrong. He was out because the catcher didn't catch the damn ball.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but that's not it though. I mean, just like in football, even if the guy doesn't catch the ball, even if he was losing it before, or he the ball was high or whatever, and you create the contact helmet to helmet, you're going to get the penalty and you're going to get kicked out of the game, and you're going to get the yards anyway. In this case, you're not going to get your run, and you're facing a possible suspension. You're out. Because you created that contact with the catcher. Whether or not he wanted to or not, they collided. You know, some are saying, well, the catcher can't be up the line without the ball. The ball got there at the same time. He can't be blocking the play. He was actually inside the baseline. I thought Jake made a very poor decision. Unless he wanted to run him over, I don't know. There was, at no point was Luke Kroy ever on the outside of the base path. And that's the direction Jake should have gone.
But a lot of times the block will be, you'll see guys block more toward the inner portion than the outer portion because you don't want to give away that inside slide or the outside slide, really. I really think Jake thought he was going to kind of catch and fade to the outside, and instead it pulled him back towards the inside. I mean, the ball was back on his right shoulder, so he had to zig to the right, and then Jake tried to go back to the right, but it was just the forearm just plow right in the nose. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, Dustin makes a pretty good point. Major League Baseball may not talk about intent at all. They may just say you have to avoid these. But there's nothing at a bang-bang. I mean, this is really a bang-bang incident. I don't know because they didn't give you the run, right?
Right.
You kicked Jake out. What else can be done? Well, they did what they could do.
Yeah, Jake didn't get kicked out.
Oh, I thought Jake was Jake was gone from there.
No.
Oh, my gosh, because I came back in when it was – I was already out.
No, Jake was out in center field after. Yeah.
Oh, my
gosh. They
didn't
kick him out of the game.
We'll
see if Major League Baseball does. Kicks him out of a couple games. We'll see. I don't know. And I, you know what?
Why are you trying to get him kicked out so hard?
I hope they actually give Jake three more home runs instead of kicking him, instead of suspending
him.
How
about subtracting three from?
How many home runs does Yuli have to hit?
Man, Yuli is
well as many as Verlander gives up. Apparently,
got a match
homer for home run.
This is over.
He's
now.
He's not up at 26 now.
This is
but
a week
he is
and
on
a half of Yuli. If Yuli's not the
are
player,
are you sure it's not? We're a good well, full 2 weeks.
It's
into
nine
Yuli.
And 11 games, or what is he? What is it? Yeah, 9 homers in 11 games. If that's about a week and a half, so well actually they only played 5 games last week. So this is a 2 week stretch for Yuli that is unfreaking believable. And you know, we talked about it the other day. Oh, who did you want at the plate with the bases loaded yesterday? Yuli.
Yeah, he's
holy
the best.
Crap. That dude is on freaking fire.
His splits have been 355 for 3 years with men in scoring position. For 3 years, his average had been 355 with OPS, it was high. You know, he was going so bad there for a while that even with this hot tear, Yuli's still not even 800 OPS wise.
No.
I mean, he really kind of slid under the radar, people, because you got Tyler White like, Tyler White, he's killing the Astros.
Well, but you got Yuli's a track record of, as opposed to Tyler White's 2 months last year,
yeah.
You got a track record of Yuli. You know he's going to hit.
No, but
I saw somebody who's
somebody
who's always, they think they're so, how about all you people that wanted Yuli out of the lineup now? Oh, who wanted Yuli out of the lineup? Who actually, or are you just creating that?
You just want him to hit.
Really? Who said Yuli should be out of the lineup? Who said that? Everybody knows Yuli can hit. And Yuli, it's what Yuli does. I mean, stop.
But he had a pretty good run where he really wasn't hitting this year.
Oh,
but
he had a long run where he wasn't hitting.
You know he can, but his hot streak now is ridiculous.
I didn't hear one person say, you got to pull Yuli out of there.
I'm sure people said that from a short-term perspective. Said, get him out of there and get somebody else in. Although, who's left?
Who?
Who is there?
Yeah, well, hurry up and get Tyler White in there.
No, there's nobody.
But that's your other first baseman. Who the hell were you going to get in there?
White there's nobody.
Power! Yeah, you're damn right.
When is he designated for assignment? My God. How about Tony Kemp?
He can't.
The Kempster with a bomb.
Yeah.
But the Kempster could be the guy who ends. I think it'll be Tyler White.
It has to be
Tyler. If they add a pitcher, I think Tyler White.
Well, but you can't miss. Well, you're adding a pitcher with Tyler White. Okay. You got your.
He's versatile, so he can hit, and he's your. We're getting blown out pitcher, so clearly Tony Kemp should be the
Isn't
one.
Isn't there
to
another
have to go.
We're getting blown out pitcher no. they can go to?
Well, that's you saying that, John. I'm not playing that game.
Tony Sipp, you're calling for Tony Sipp.
Are you calling for the lefty? Are you doing?
Well, no, we can't call for Tony Sipp. You know why?
Because he's
not
here anymore.
With us.
Yeah, Tony Sipp put in the best year he's had as an Astro. But you know what we're gonna do? We don't need you.
No.
Well, let's go with your Rick with the year.
$18 million. Is that enough?
Your cootie, kitty, queedy.
Did Tony
whoever.
Kemp say I only want to make money for 3 years? Or did he say I want to make money continuously from the Astros? I don't think Tony Kemp came to it. Look, guys, this 18 over three, I'm good. Tony Sipp. Tony Sipp was like, 18 over three, I'm going to have a great year my final year. You don't have to pay me anymore. I'm good. Thanks for the previous.
That's right. We gave you enough. Beat it.
But don't you actually?
No,
wouldn't
you
like
no.
To
you
have
know what we can
a
bring
pitcher?
In? A Rogelio Armenteros.
How's that going?
Yeah, Ramin Gundwan.
What? Who? What?
A Sionel Perez.
What?
How are those working out?
Good Lord. Sionel sucks.
He sucked.
Almost sucks as bad as the
845 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Are you excited about the Home Run Derby tonight?
I don't know if excited's the word, but I'll watch it.
I always end up watching it. I always say, and I always end up watching it.
Did you see what Barstool Sports, pardon my takes, Big Cat and PFT Commenter, thankfully, Yelich is out of the home run. Did you see they made a bet last year? Like, Kristen Yelich was on their podcast. If he wins it, they were going to do something, and I'm just glad he's not in it now.
What were they going to do if he won it?
There's really no way I can say this on the air.
There's no way to say what they're going to do if Christian Yelich wins which he can't now because he's out of it. He has a bad back.
So, do you like salad?
Oh, God.
What?
It's okay.
Like salad.
Yeah.
It's okay. You throw in some protein like some chicken or something, and it's great.
Why do you like chicken?
No,
why
you throw respond in, like that? No, you add. I'm not just gonna eat a salad. You throw some, like some. You want some grilled chicken in that salad?
Why would that be something that's eating a salad? Why would that be
is
in
it
play?
Eating a
just
salad?
Because Christian Yelich wins the home run.
Are they like throwing salad? Like, so what would you call a throw?
A toss.
Is that what yeah. it is?
Yeah.
Okay. Are they doing it to Christian Yelich or someone else?
Are they
back and forth? Did Christian Yelich say
no, he's not involved in it.
Okay.
He just said, I'll win it. If you win it, yeah.
Hmm.
Back and forth.
It's a strange bet.
Yeah, very strange. So they are very, very happy that I don't think they would have paid off, but you just never know because if you say it on the internet, you have to do it because I've seen people catch their arms on fire because of challenges.
Still waiting for that. Penis tattoo. I don't see that coming for that
yeah.
lady.
Where's
so you
that?
Don't have
Where's
to.
That lower back? Yeah.
You don't have to.
Uh-huh. Hmm. Wow.
If Tyler White hits a home run, I'm not going to trash my body like that just for you people on the internet. Stop making promises.
Well, yeah. Don't be promising nothing. You can't.
Say something like, if Tyler White stretches that double into a triple, I'll get it. Okay. Then you know you don't have to pay off because it ain't ever going
to
happen.
You'll never have to pay that off. Never have to pay that off. So anyway, yeah, I'm a little bit excited to watch it. I like it. I like Chapman. Chapman's, you know what? He probably comes in and win.
Have you been watching Guerrero's home run videos that he's practicing? Like the torque he gets on those home runs is unbelievable.
Well, dudes are
who's favorite?
Who is it?
I'll look it up right
yeah.
now.
Well, matter of fact, I'm going to see.
Yeah, no, I know you're getting action.
I know.
I mean, it always makes the home run contest better, right?
Yeah. No, it absolutely does. MLB, let's see. Home run derby. Let's see. I would imagine home run derby. Here we go. So, Pete Alonso is plus 400. Vlad is plus 320. He's actually the favorite. Oh, no. Josh Bell, plus 300.
Josh Bell's the favorite, yeah. So Josh Bell and Vladimir Guerrero are the top two.
Josh Bell and Vlad Guerrero.
Pete Alonso, I got plus 350.
I got plus 400.
You do?
Yeah.
Unless it changed, I thought we're on the same site.
Bregman's plus 800.
I got six on this one.
Huh. We got different.
Maybe that's the real one, and this is the one that doesn't give good odds.
Carlos Santana is the least favorite. He's plus 900. Jock Peterson, 600. I don't know. Josh Bell, dude, is a beast. I'm going to go Josh Bell in this one. I got to go Josh Bell. You're going to take Vlad?
What do you see Josh Bell at? Plus three?
I got plus 300.
That's what I'm showing. If you want both of them, you could have them both for plus 125.
They're the two
Vlad
favorites.
And Josh Bell?
Right.
I kind of like that idea.
Pete Alonso could come up, though, and steal it from you.
He's right there with him. But you get two of them for 125. You like it better about 150.
And you never know. Matt Chapman has not, has not been practicing it, which
no.
I think is a good thing.
And I don't like Breggers at plus. What number did you have?
I got 800.
See, I'm showing 600, but I don't like him anyway. I don't like him at any number.
I don't
Jock Peterson.
I don't like him in it, if you want to know the truth.
I don't either. And Jock Peterson could. I could see Jock Peterson having a hot round. I just don't see him winning.
No. Well, but if you eliminate somebody and he's one of the. He's probably going to be up. Oh, what are the matchups, by the way? That's what you have to see. Who's matched up with who in what bracket? That's kind of a big deal. So, you know, you're going to be able to get through early on. But I like Josh Bell. That dude is just a beast. He hits it with no effort whatsoever. 713-780-3776.
Yeah, I don't have exact
matches. Raheel will join us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5.